Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So you know what, let's turn real quick to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And you know it's a good thing. Verse number 6 is good. But you know, it seems a little obvious, right? It seems very obvious to me that there's been a little bit of a trend the last couple days, the last couple services, I should say. In the way it seems to me that the Lord wants us to be people without care, you know, because honestly, to be people that are mindful of the Lord is really to be people without care, right? Not having to be full of care in our lives, right? That's an important thing. So just something good to mention there. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing, right? Be full of care in your mind for nothing, right? So nothing in our lives deserves to occupy such a space in our mind and in our thinking that it would cause us to care, right? And that's why our thought life is extremely important, right? What we think on. And that's the way he addresses it later on in verse number 8. But our thought life is important. Let's just jump to verse number 8. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things," it says, "are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Right? So our thought life is important to the Lord, what we're thinking. But one of the awesome things, obviously, that he is bringing out is care, right? The care that we have for things. In other words, to have a heart filled with care. And it's important, right? Because sometimes we think that because we care for people, that's okay. That kind of care is good. But God is not asking you to care for people, right? The Lord is the one that wants to care for them, and he's the only one that can care for people appropriately. You can't care for people, right? Just like you can't love your enemy, you can't care for people, right? I mean, for us to think that it is within our capacity to be able to care, right, then there must be many other things within our capacity to do, right? I mean, it's either we cannot, and you know, one of the things that we'll see is we can't even pray right. We can't pray right because we don't know what to pray. Right? The reason why we cannot pray correctly is because we don't know what to pray, the same way we don't know how to speak, right? If we don't know how to speak, we don't know how to pray. And if we don't know how to speak, we certainly don't know how to care, right? Because there's a little bit of a thing, a little bit of a twisted mentality that says that kind of like, because, you know, because we have the Spirit of God in us, that, you know, God is loving, God just wants us to care for everybody. But that's not true. God doesn't want you to care for anyone. I mean, honestly, really, just let's take the word what it is, right? If you care for someone, that means that in your mind, you're caring for them. You don't do things physically unless you do things in your mind, right? So in your care for people, right? And you care for people, we do things fleshly, caring for people, right? Because we think that, you know, the church believes that that's what God wants us to do, that God wants us to care for people, right? But God, I mean, God had Moses lead many people, right? But God didn't want him to care for them, right? They were God's people, not Moses' people, right? So God doesn't ask us to care for people. I mean, so when God tells us not to be careful, we have to be sure that we don't segment that. Like being careful is really just worrying about bad things, but we can actually care for things, right? But what he's trying to do is he's trying to silo our mind to be able to say, you know what, there's one place where our heart ought to be, because now don't get me wrong, God wants us to be fruitful, right? Because and all that means is God wants to work through you to affect the lives of people. But that's his business, not ours, right? Right? I mean, I love you, but I cannot, I mean, I would be a sick person caring for you, right? I would be sick. I would be a sick individual trying to care for you, right? Because I can't care for you. I mean, so for me to think that I actually have something in me that could care for you, or that I have something in me that could care for my kids, right? That could care for my wife, I can't care for them, right? Why? Because I can't even care for myself. If I can't care for myself, if I can't fix my own problems, if I can't take care or take thought, and it's interesting that in the Bible and in translations, that there seems to be very synonymous, taking care and taking thought, always seem to be along the same vein, right? But he says, listen, he says, be careful for nothing. Nothing, he said, right? He said, be careful for nothing. Right? So if we're caring, that's not nothing. Right? Listen, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Those are really far-reaching words, right? Look at what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I believe every single one of those words are important tonight. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And here's what happens. When you don't care, but you pray, right? And we're gonna put a lot of context around that, right? But when you don't care, but you pray, right? It says the peace of God, which passes understanding, right? And that already gives you a hint about your prayer. Okay? It says when you pray, when you don't care, but you pray, right? It says what happens as a result of that, not caring, but praying. And what most people think is that their prayer is caring, right? But the only reason why they think that their care is praying is because of the way that they pray. They pray asking God to do something on behalf of someone else, right? That's how people pray, and they think that prayer is care, right? Caring for them. But the reason why they pray like that is because they don't pray by the Spirit of God. What they do is that they pray what they worry about. So they bring their worries to God, right? Because that's what they think that verse means. Bring your cares, cast your care over on the Lord. They think that is, talk to God about your worries, right? And God, who hears about your worries, will answer your prayer. But God doesn't move in our lives because we talk to Him about our worries, right? In other words, your worries are not lifted because you talk to God about them. Actually, all that causes you to do is worry more. Right? Because worry in and of itself, you're doing it whether you're talking to God or not, right? So our care is not alleviated by us talking to God about our cares. There is a right way to pray, and the correct way to pray, watch what he says. He says if you pray right, the peace of God that passes all understanding, so that means that you can't pray with your understanding. Because then the peace that passes understanding can't come, right? Because if you have a peace from, you pray, and peace, the fruit of peace comes, right? That only comes from the Spirit of God. If the fruit of peace comes, the only way that the fruit of peace can come, right, is by an understanding that surpasses our own understanding, right? And if we pray with our understanding, which is not the same thing that he's talking about in Romans 8 and in 1 Corinthians 14, right? It's not the same thing. Praying with the understanding is, and we'll touch on that, praying with the understanding and praying in another tongue, right, is praying with an understanding given to us by the Spirit of God. In other words, praying with a knowledge that came from the Spirit. That's that understanding. But not leaning on our own understanding is what it's talking about here, right? A peace that passes our understanding is a peace that passes what we shouldn't be leaning on anyway. And if we pray with our understanding, right? If we pray, in other words, not with the knowledge of Christ, but if we pray with leaning on our understanding, the peace of God will not be fruitful. In other words, the Spirit of God is not fruitful in your life when you pray with your understanding. So God has not called us to recite a laundry list of stuff. Of all of the people that we worry and that we care most about, to go ahead and pray about those things, right? There's a right way to pray, and there's a wrong way to pray, right? There's a way to pray, which is called the prayer of faith, and there's a way, another different way to pray, which is not prayer at all, which is just to talk to God about our problems, which actually does nothing. Because you're not actually acknowledging God when you talk to God about your problems. You're just talking to God about your problems, which is just a different way to worry, right? But look at what he says. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and that's important there, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes, it says, all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. And it's an interesting thing, that when you pray, your mind and your heart are kept in Christ. Watch. If when you pray, your heart and your mind is kept in Christ. for it to be kept in Christ, that means that that's where your prayer was in Christ, right? So you were praying, in other words, the source of your prayer was the Spirit of God. And we'll show you in a second what that is, but the source of your prayer was the Spirit of God. Therefore, when your prayer stems from the Spirit of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, in other words, let's put it like this. When your prayer stems from the Spirit of God, your mind is kept on the Spirit of God. Right? When your prayer stems from Christ, your mind stays on Christ. Right? When your prayer stems from talking to God about all your worries, right? Your mind is not on Christ. Your mind is just going to be on your worries. So you're worried, right? You're worried. But He wants us not to be people that are full of care. You know why? Because we become impotent people, full of care. In other words, people with the power of God on the inside of them, but not able to do anything. Why? Because God cannot be fruitful in our worry, right? Worry does not make the Spirit of God fruitful in our lives, right? Caring for people supposedly because we talk to God about all the problems that people have. I mean, what does that do? To talk to God about all the problems that they have, like He doesn't know? The problem that they have is that, right? And we mentioned it before, right? They need Jesus, right? That's the problem that people have, is that they need Jesus. So what good does it do to pray to God about all the problems that they have and tell God, Lord, but they have this and this going on, so I pray, Lord, that You help them with this. All of these nonsensical things that doesn't do anything for anybody. Right? Then people say, well, why doesn't prayer work? well, okay. So let's look at this real quick. Let's look at this. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17:7. Familiar passage, right? But that really doesn't matter. I don't even know why I would even say that, right? A familiar passage, because we're not looking for the passage to say anything to us, right? We're just looking for the Spirit of God to tell you something. And if He's saying something, it doesn't matter, right, that the passage is familiar. Who cares whether the passage is familiar or not, right? You could have read it 100,000 times. But if He's saying something to you, then that's good. So look at what it says. Blessed is the man that trusteth, it says, in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree by the waters, it says, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful. You see how good that is? Shall not be careful in the year of drought. So a tree planted by the water, a tree planted by the water is not full of care because of what you see with your eyes, right? Why? Because that's not how you live. That's not how we live anymore, right? We don't live by what we see. So it gives you some insight also into where care can come from, right? Because we develop care and worry because of what we see. Right? But if you're living and your eyes are on Him, and the very words that you speak to God are stemming from the Spirit of God in you, right? Because remember that we have a God, we have a Lord who searches our heart, right? We have a God who knows our heart. And the awesome thing is that He knows our heart, and He who searches the heart, it says, knows the mind of the Spirit in you, right? And is in you to help you so that you will speak those things, right, that are in accordance and right in line with His own will in you, right? He'll help you to speak those words, right? Listen, we'll get that. I'm getting a tiny bit ahead of myself, but the weakness of the law, the weakness of work, right, the weakness of righteousness through the law was the flesh, right? The weakness of prayer is the flesh. Carnal thinking is the weakness of prayer. It better said like that, right? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be because that's not how we have to be. But look at what he says. He says that that you shall not be careful in the year of drought. Now, the reason why he makes that statement there is because obviously the year of drought is easily seen. Drought is seen easily in the world. But he said, but you'll not be careful even though you're in the middle of a year of drought. Why? He says, why do we not have to be full of care? Why do we not have to be full of care? Because he says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So what he's saying is you don't have to be full of care based on what you see, because by the Spirit of God, you will always be fruitful regardless of where you are and regardless of the situation you find yourself in. So it is the presence of the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the fruitfulness of the Spirit that comes from not being full of care, but prayer, right? Not being full of care, but in everything be full of prayer, right? And all that that's talking about is talk to God God, talk to God, right? Which is really for your benefit anyway, but talk to God about what He says to you. What He said is the truth, right? What He says is the truth. And let Him be fruitful, because ultimately, your prayer makes you fruitful. Your prayer is making you fruitful. Your prayer doesn't move God in heaven, right? Your prayer is just making you fruitful. When you talk to God, when you talk to God about right, and you, in other words, when your prayer is, when you're speaking, let's just make it like this. When you speak the things He is speaking, that's your benefit, right? It's for your benefit and for everybody else's benefit, right? Right? Because God sometimes would have you speak to someone else about, right? He would tell you something that He needs you to speak to somebody else, right? He's going to speak something to them. But understand this though, if you are not full of care, right? Because you're full of speaking what God is saying, right? You will always be fruitful. In other words, so really it's the fruit of the Spirit is what makes us to be people, right? That don't have to be full of care. In other words, the operation of the Spirit of God makes us people not to be full of care. Why? Because the only time that we are full of care is when we're wondering what we should do, not what He should do. What we should do. In other words, when you think about what you should do, or how you should do it, or what are you going to do, that's what brings care. The work of the flesh is what brings care, not the work of the Spirit. We never worry about Him, right? Because we know if God is going to do something, it's going to be perfect. The only time worrying and care comes is when we're concerned about what we're going to do in the flesh. And maybe we don't think it through all that much, right? Because we're just thinking that we're caring. But you have to know the root of care. The root of care is a fleshly root. It is not a spiritual root. The root of care is a carnal root, right? Care is carnal, not spiritual, right? So when God tells us not to be people full of care, why? Because we would have no cares at all, ever, about anything if our mind was just stayed on what He's saying to us, right? Because you know if He's saying it, He'll bring it to pass. And so there's never any care in those things, right? Never any care in those things. But look at what He says. He says that you'll never cease from yielding fruit. And in verse number 9, He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, I the Lord, look what He says, I the Lord search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. The one thing that I want you to see here is, He says, I the Lord search the heart. Right? He's the one that searches the heart, right? And what he's wanting, right, is faith in our mind and in our heart, right? Watch, go to Romans chapter 8. Watch, and there's a lot of context behind this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, right? And you know, it's just good, right, to be able to have your cares removed from you. How awesome is it to live that way, to have your cares removed from you, and you're seeing, how are my cares removed from me, Lord, right? As I continue to hear You, right? I'm prosperous, Lord, right? As I continue to hear You and believe what You tell me, you know, prayer is a fruit, you know. Right? Prayer is actually a fruit. Prayer is a fruit, you know why? And we'll see it in a second, but the Bible talks about the fruit of your lips, right? Giving thanks to His name. The fruit of your lips. But what did He just say in Philippians chapter 4? That with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Right? It says the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks, right? When is your mouth filled, right, with thanksgiving? Right? The fruit of our lips, it's when our lips are fruitful, right? It's when thanksgiving comes out, when our lips are fruitful. But when is it that our lips could be fruitful? When is it that anything in your life is fruitful? Who is it that can, who produces fruit through your life, your body, and through your mouth? Right? Because we should never think, right, that the Spirit of God produces fruit through our body, but we can produce fruit through our mouth. Because from a good tree comes good fruit, right? And there's only one in us that makes us trees of righteousness, right? So there's only one source of life that is our action and our mouth, right? You know, because we, I guess what it is we still exercise greater control still than our mouth. I mean, we've been learning about our body, but we still exercise a great amount of control over what we say, right? But that's no different than what we do. What we say and what we do comes from the same place, right? What our actions come from our heart, right? From our thinking. We've been learning that as you hear the Lord Jesus, right? He makes you, right? That affects, you don't have to try to correct your actions, right? We've been taught, right? You don't have to correct your actions, but hearing Jesus corrects your actions, right? And why is that? Because you're thinking righteously, you're thinking the thoughts of God, and you have the ways of God in you, right? But that's the exact thing that comes out of your mouth, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart is where the mouth speaks. Because listen, we can act it out really good. In other words, right? We can do the right things out here, and we can think that we're fooling something. But our mouth will always give us away, right? Why? Because out of the abundance, your mouth is going to speak what's in your heart, right? Your mouth is going to speak what's in your heart, and if what you're speaking is right, because right, your thinking is right, based on His thoughts, God's thoughts, then it's good to be able to see that the fruit of your lips, right? The fruit of your lips is where thanksgiving comes from. So let's look at it again. So in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, which is really just means their weakness. So let me ask you something. What is the weakness of people? Right? The weakness of human beings, is the problem of human beings, right? The weakness of human beings is the problem of human beings, and the Lord took care of that weakness, right? So what is the weakness? Well, the weakness of human beings is the weakness of the law, right? What is it? The flesh is the weakness. That is the flesh. So when it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, what is the weakness that He's helping you with, right? It's carnal thinking is what He's helping you with. I'll prove it to you in a second as we keep reading, but he says, likewise, the Spirit helps you when you think, not thinking carnally. So he helps you by fixing the way you think, right? Look at what he says. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weakness, our infirmities. How do you know that it's not talking about sickness, but it's talking about our weakness, which is carnal thinking? Because look at what he says. For we know not, and it's not saying that you don't know all things because you do. It's saying in leaning on your own understanding, you do not know what you should pray for as you ought. And listen, most people pray from their mind. In other words, they don't pray by the Spirit. They just pray from what's right at the tip of their mind, right? And not that entirely, if you're led by the Spirit of God, that's bad to pray the things that God is putting upon your heart. But the thing is, most people don't acknowledge the Spirit of God when they go to pray, right? They just start praying what? Honestly, most prayer is just worry put to words. That's all that it is. It's just worry put to words. But that's not God's intent for prayer. Because God's intent for prayer brings peace that passes what you could understand with your carnal mind. And in order for you to have a peace that passes carnal understanding, your prayer had to have passed carnal understanding. If your prayer did not pass carnal understanding, the peace of God that passes all understanding won't come either. Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing that he's talking about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, it says, our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But look at what he says. But the Spirit, it says, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, and he that searcheth the hearts, what is it that we just read in Jeremiah 17? That the Lord searches the hearts, right? The Lord is the one that searches the hearts. And he says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth, it says, what is the mind of the Spirit. What is it that we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 2? That we have the what? We have the mind of Christ. You've been given the mind of Christ, right? So because you have the mind of Christ, watch what he says. It says, so you have the mind of Christ, which means is just another way to say that you have the Spirit of God in you. You have in you the one that knows the depths of the mind of God is His Spirit. And His Spirit is the one that's in you. So only the Spirit of God knows the depths of the mind of God. And that Spirit that knows the depths of the minds of God is the Spirit that's on the inside of you. Right? And He knows what needs to be in your mouth. He knows what needs to be in your mouth. And he says, and he that searcheth the hearts, it says, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here's something important, right? In 1 John, and we'll go there in a second. But 1 John talks about that, because he says that our prayers need to be in line with the will of God. And that confuses a lot of people, right? Because they want to be sure then that what they're praying is in line with the will of God. So what they do is they try to figure out if what they're saying, if God... But here's the funny thing. Most people are unsure. And I'm not saying you, but so many Christians are unsure about the will of God. And because they're unsure of the will of God, then their prayers are definitely going to be unsure. Because they don't know. But we have one in us that speaks the will of God to us, right? He speaks the will of the Father to you, right? And the awesome thing about that is because He speaks the will of God to you, then you can pray perfect prayers. And in other words, prayers that are perfectly in line with the will of God. And I know that that rocks us a little bit, right? To say that we would pray perfect prayers, right? But if you're right. If you pray, it ain't perfect. If the Spirit of God prays through you, that is perfect. That's perfect. And we frown at that a little bit. You know why? Because we don't even think perfect things through us. We think that all that can come out of human beings like us are imperfect things. But that's not true. Because you are perfect. And out of your spirit can come perfect things. That's important to understand because we don't think like that. We don't think like that. We don't expect perfect things to come out of us because we're so doctrinally trained to think that we are not perfect. And people tell you that you're not perfect. And you don't believe that you're perfect. But God says you're perfect. So when you hear the Spirit of God tell you that you have been perfected, right? That you are perfect. That your spirit is perfect. And if you are not thinking by your flesh, but thinking by your spirit, what's going to come out? Perfect things. Perfect things. Things that are perfect. Things that are right on exactly God doing exactly what God wants to do. That's an awesome thing to hear, and you look, guys look a little bit sad with that, but it's true. But okay, so he says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Look at verse number 27 again. And he that searcheth the hearts, it said, knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see what that is, what he's talking about? In other words, you're going to pray, and you don't know what you should pray. So the Spirit of God on the inside of you, right, speaks to you from the inside of you. Why? So you can hear, so you can speak what God wants you to speak. And there's two ways that He does that, right? He can teach directly to your heart. He can speak to you, right? Or you can speak in an unknown tongue, right? And while you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you are speaking mysteries unto God, right? Your spirit is praying, right? And you can pray for God to give you the interpretation of that tongue, right? And both ways, you still end up in the same place. And what is that? Praying with the understanding or praying in the spirit? You end up, in both ways, you end up in the same place. Understanding given to you by the Spirit of God or praying in an unknown tongue, your prayer, though, begins to be what? Perfect prayer. You can pray perfect things. What are those things? The same way that you can do perfect things. How do you do perfect things when the Spirit of God does them? They're perfect. Well, what is perfection? What is that? What is perfection? Perfection is anything that God does is perfect. Anything He does is perfect. There's actually nothing else perfect in this world. The only thing that can be in this world that is perfect is whatever God does in this planet. What He does here, it is perfect. Right? And we have the capacity for that to happen, right? Why? Because we have Him in us. The one who is perfect is on the inside of you. So out of you can come and you can say perfect things, you can pray perfect things, you can do perfect things. Through who? Through Him who is perfect on the inside of you. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God, right? And you have on the inside of you the gift of the Spirit of God. You have Him on the inside of you. Him who is perfect, you have on the inside of you. Look at what he says that He makes intercession according to the will of God. And but that's not hard to understand, right? Because everything that the Spirit of God is going to do on the inside of you is perfectly in line with what God desires, right? Because the Spirit of God does not just do whatever He wants and doesn't say whatever He wants, right? The Spirit of Christ will speak the things that Christ Himself wants to speak into your heart. The things that Jesus wants to speak to you are the things that His Spirit in you, right? If no one knows you except the Spirit in you, and no one knows Jesus except the Spirit of Christ, whom spirit you have, then that means that that Spirit of Jesus is not going to speak anything ever contrary to what Jesus wants, right, for you to know. Always is going to be perfectly in line. Why? Because the spirit of a man is always going to be in line with the man, right? Just the same way the Spirit of God is in line with the Father, the Spirit of Christ is in line with what Jesus wants. So obviously if they live in us by His Spirit, it's always going to be perfectly in line. But so it's awesome to see that by the mind of Christ, right, you that don't know in your own understanding what you ought to pray, right? He can teach you what to pray or speak through you, right? He can pray. Listen, it's an awesome thing. The Lord can teach you what to pray and you can say the things that He's saying, or He can just say them for you, right? And they don't end up in really in different places. It's basically the same thing, right? When you're praying in the Spirit, your spirit is praying, right? But your spirit is one with His. So that just means the Spirit of God is praying through you. So you're just praying things that are perfect, right? But the thing is, if you understand, right, by the Spirit of God, what He is saying, you can utter the perfect things in English. But it's the same thing. Either way, it's the same thing. Whether you utter them in English or whether the Spirit of God just prays them and your understanding is not fruitful, but still perfect prayer is going on, right? Right? In other words, we don't know what to pray. It doesn't get a whole lot clearer, right, than what He said. He says, likewise the Spirit, in verse number 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray. Honestly, can I tell you something? One of the greatest things that we can do to help people is to tell them to stop praying. Right? To stop. Stop praying because you're doing it wrong. Stop praying, because as long as they think that what they're doing is right prayer and they categorize their prayer, they'll keep doing what they're doing. Right? If people think that what they're doing is prayer, they'll keep doing what they're doing. Right? But prayer, obviously, it has to be corrected in our mind. Just like, everything that we say out of our mouth, God corrects, right? So all that prayer is speaking, right? All that we're doing in prayer is speaking. So it's the things that we ask for, which is supplication, right? The things that we say and the things that we ask for need to come from the Spirit of God in us, right? It needs to come from the Spirit. In other words, He has to show you what to say. He has to show you what to say, and there's different ways to do that. There's different ways to do that, and we talked about the two. He says, so let's go from here. Let's look at, So 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. So let's look at 14 first. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning, and he's talking about, right, when a word, right, when someone's speaking in tongues, or when you're speaking in tongues yourself. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Right? In other words, just not knowing, right, not profiting at all. It says, therefore, verse number 11, therefore, if I know, verse number 12. It says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual things, right? Gifts, I know, is added there. But that which is of the Spirit of God. If we're zealous, right, if we desire those things that are of the Spirit of God, as if what we want is for the Spirit to work and not us, is what he's saying, right? If what we want is for the Spirit of God to work in us, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, right? In other words, we know that the only help that we can be to the church is if the Spirit of God is the one that does it. Right? What that's trying to do there is just cut out our work, right, ourselves. That we know that we cannot be a help to anyone. We cannot be a help to anyone. And sometimes, can I tell you this? Sometimes we think that we have helped and we've actually done nothing. Right? We think that we've done something, but we've done nothing, right? Just because we have done carnal things does not mean that they've been helped. Right? Because help, honestly, help can only, the help, to help someone is to help their weakness. And there is only one way to help the weakness of the human condition. Because there is one weakness that people have. There is one weakness that people have. And the weakness that people have is their flesh. And there's only one way for the deeds of the body to be put to death. There's only one way. And people can't make that happen. You can't, listen, and this is good to say out loud, right? You cannot help to put to death the deeds of someone else's body. You can't do that. You can't put to death the deeds of the, in other words, you can't put to death the deeds of the body of someone else. But that's their problem, right? The deeds of their flesh is their problem. And the only one that can do that is the Spirit of God, that can put those things to death, right? That they could be circumcised, and then that their hearts would begin to be circumcised, right? That they could be circumcised, and then their hearts could begin to be circumcised. And as their hearts are being circumcised, which means, right, that the carnal thinking is being cut away, then they are circumcised, and then their heart is circumcised, and the more that their heart is circumcised, then amen, something is being done, right, in their life. So look at what it says. So in verse number 13, it says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, or in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, right? But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Look at what he says. How should we pray then? And he says, so I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So he's saying that we should pray both ways, right? That when we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, and this is what people have made that to mean. Every time you don't know, and it's half right, but every time you don't know what to pray, just pray in tongues. But, and I think probably all of us, many of us maybe have heard that. When you don't know what to pray, just pray in tongues. But that's not really true, because you never know what to pray. Right? You never know what to pray. We do not know what we should pray for as we are. It doesn't say when you don't know what to pray, right? In other words, the mind, carnal thinking, never knows what to pray. The only one that knows what we should pray is the mind of Christ in us. He is the only one that knows what we should pray, because our prayer, again, we'll look at 1 John in a second, but 1 John chapter 5, I think, but our prayer has to be in line with the will of God. Our prayers need to consist of the will of God, and only God can do His will. Right? We learned that months ago, right? If only God can do His will, and our words need to be the will of God, then that means we can't be the ones praying. But then that's not a surprise, because we shouldn't be the ones working, and that shouldn't be a surprise, because we shouldn't be the ones living, right? And if we ain't living, we ain't working. If we ain't living, we ain't praying. So it just cuts to the chase of just, it's no longer I that live. And if people are living in their prayers, they ought to stop praying. They ought to stop praying and let the Spirit of God pray, right? Because the Spirit of God will give you, He will put the words in your mouth that you ought to pray. He will put the words in your mouth that you ought to speak. Our mouth will always speak from the abundance of our hearts, and He already told us what we ought to think on. Think on these things, He said. Think on these things. He said, if there be any virtue, excellence, and perfection, those things that are perfect and are of the Spirit of God ought to be where our hearts are, right? That's where we ought to be. Think our minds filled with the thoughts of God. Because we have, right? His thoughts are our thoughts, and His ways, they become our ways, right? But see, if we could begin to see that, right? What our prayers should consist of. What would that do? I mean, look at what it's done to date. Look at what it's done to your life already, just in your actions, right? And in the things, in the way that you speak about your actions. Right? The way you speak about wanting to do it, and that you don't just want to get out there and just start doing things, right? But there are things that God wants to do in our prayers, right? Because our prayers, they're not where God wants them to be, right? But how is that fixed? There's no different, right? There's not a different methodology for our prayers to be right from where our actions were right. Because your actions are coming from the same place that your words are coming from. So it's an acknowledgement, right? You acknowledge God in all of your ways. Can we just say this? Look, acknowledge God in all of your ways. Your ways include your mouth. Right? Your ways include your mouth. Your mouth is not separate from, it's not that, listen, there is, your mouth is a way just as much as your actions that you do is a way. An action or speaking are both actions. Right? Speaking or doing with your hands, right? Are just actions. Just as foolish as it is for us to do something with our body and just make a decision and go do something with our body and, I don't know, do whatever, right? Just begin to make a plan and just start doing it, right, with our body. It's just as foolish, right, to just speak things without acknowledging Him. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your path, including your tongue. You know what the powerful thing about that is? Is that if the tongue is tamed by the Spirit of God, right? Then the whole body is the Lord's. You understand what He's saying, right? He says, just if the Lord controls the rudder of a ship, He controls the whole ship, right? So if God controls the tongue, what He really has is your mind. And if He controls your mind, He controls all of you. He controls all of you. But if we don't acknowledge God in what we say, because we're accustomed to acknowledging God in just what we do, then you know what? Maybe we ought to stop acknowledging God in stuff or in things or in certain actions or in certain things that we say and just acknowledge Him openly for your life and everything, right? You know, that's something that just I've been just telling the Lord lately, and He continued to give us more understanding about it. But Lord, I just tell Him, Lord, You are my life. You're my life. You're my all in all. You're everything to me. You're the words that I speak. You're the actions, right? I mean, that we in Him, it is that we are living and we're moving in our very, we're having our being in Him, right? That's not taking it too far. That's just taking it for what it is, right? That's taking it for what it is. That even before, and this is something that I was just, you know, giving you a little testimony before about the things that the Lord was doing, but just say, Lord, You speak. You speak, and that's awesome to do every once in a while, but it is even awesomer, right? To just let out, acknowledging God in all of the things. In other words, what has He been teaching us for years, right? Being quick to listen and slow to speak. If you're being quick to listen, who are you listening to? Him. In other words, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Be quick, right? We were talking about this, right? To be attentive to Him. To just be attentive to Him. Right? Be quick to be attentive to Him. And if you're quick to be attentive to Him, He, right? Then you're quick to listen and you're slow to speak. Why? Because you're being slow to speak because you're being quick to acknowledge Him. You're slow to speak because you're quick to acknowledge. So really, as funny as this sounds, we should be slow to email and slow to text, right? Slow, because you're texting, but you're still talking, right? You're still talking. You're emailing, you're still talking, right? That is not separate from your mouth, right? Out of the abundance of your heart, you will text. Out of the abundance, and it's not that texting is just always funny, right? Because then we're just, then that's what our speech is always, just funny, right? And there are people that are braver in their text than they are with their mouth. But that's just talking, right? We should be people that are quick to listen to Him and slow to text and slow to email, right? And slow to Facebook and slow to do this and slow to do that and slow to send a message. And why? Because we ought to be people that are just quick to listen to Him. And let it affect all the areas of our life. We're not trying to go out there and correct our texting habits and correct our emailing habits and correct all these things. It's just the acknowledgement that our mouth is not separate from our body, right? So with that, just the knowledge that your mouth is not separate from your body, and that the Lord wants to work in your mouth just as much as He wants to work through your hands and your feet and every other part of you, right? Just let Him do that. Let Him be the one to text and let Him, imagine the way, how different your texting life would be. Imagine how different your emails would be, right? Imagine how different your posts, right, would be, right? And you know what? Just listen, there's a whole lot that you say going on Instagram and posting a picture. You say a whole lot about what's in your brain when you post a picture, right? Because a picture on Instagram is just saying, this is what's in my brain, and I'm showing it to you with a picture. You're still talking loud as can be, right? When you agree with somebody else, listen, you could agree with somebody here on killing babies just as much as you can agree with them and just kind of, you know, give them a thumbs up on their picture. You're agreeing. The Lord says if two or three agree, if they agree as touching anything, you can agree on Instagram, you can agree on Facebook with somebody, right? It's not that far-fetched. It's the same thing, right? We don't have a cyber life separate from our real life, right? You are one. You are one in spirit with Him, right? You don't have separate lives. You are just one. And just because you can be braver and put more of your thoughts right out there and on the internet does not, listen, it doesn't separate you from who you are. And because we are His, it's awesome to be able to see, let Him take all that. And how do you just let Him take all that, right? Just acknowledge Him in those things, right? Acknowledge, just as well as we acknowledge Him in everything else, let's acknowledge Him, right? Our ways are also all of those things, right?
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.